You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Welcome to the Summer Special Fighting Cock. We're here to discuss the new stadium, chat NFL, 17K stands, writing to Greg Dyke and naming rights. We celebrate Bentalab, start tripping on Trippier, and get to the big discussion. Nipple peni or peni nipples. Buy the fanzine, you mugs.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock! It's the fighting.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Fighting Cock podcast. I say special, but every season, every pre-season, we end up doing one of these. And actually, one of our most listened to podcasts that we've ever done was when AVB was taken over. Remember that?
Yeah. What was last year's special pre-season one?
There wasn't one, was there?
Every year we do this.
I think we came back maybe a week early because of the Magnificent Seven, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Soldado signed and you guys were all singing the Soldado song.
Yeah, maybe. We've got Barney.
Hello.
We've got Alex from Bristol.
What's up?
I'm Flav. And Dan Lowe.
Hi.
Been on the podcast a couple of times. Three or four times.
And I can't remember.
We thought we'd get in contact with you when, obviously, the stadium news... I mean, you can't have something as magnificent as an announcement of a brand new stadium come out and we can't do a podcast. And given the link to NFL and your understanding of these things, we thought we'd invite you along and thank you very much for coming down.
I love stadiums. What can I say? Especially when they look like fucking toilets.
Do you think it does look like a toilet?
Yeah, it definitely looks like a toilet.
Don't they all, though?
Yeah.
Don't they all?
Yeah.
If you stick a lid on any toilet other than... Actually, no,
this looks like a toilet with stains around it.
Yeah. Mm.
This looks like my toilet. That's why I don't like it.
Are you not a big fan?
What, of the picture of the stadium?
No, or just generally.
Of toilets?
Yes.
Stains in toilets?
No. Toilet should be definitely clean.
I've just come from Flav's house where there were stains in his toilet.
Yeah, I cleaned it up afterwards. So what's your problem?
But that's the thing about toilets. Like, do you just write it off? People are taking shits in it. What's the fuck? What really is the point in keeping it clean? Mm. Or do you try and take some sort of pride in it and clean the toilet regularly?
It depends if there's someone new coming round.
Good point.
Yeah.
I think there's a happy medium to be struck, Mrs. Richings.
But if people are not getting... people are going to hate on you, I think, because your toilet's dirty. Maybe that relationship wasn't meant to be.
That's true.
But was his toilet dirty from limescale, or was it shit?
No, it was feces.
No, then that's unacceptable.
It was streaks.
Yeah, a little bit. But I cleaned it up after. What the fuck, man? Can't we just talk about the big news this week? Me leaving shit in my toilet isn't a big news. I'm big time, but not that big time. Do you know what? This is a good opportunity to mention the fact that the fanzines have just dropped, literally today. And in front of us, four are free. I'm including that four. Are the first people ever to see this.
It looks amazing.
Beautiful. Doesn't it?
Yeah, the front cover is fucking amazing.
This is the silver foil front cover that we've been talking about over the last 15 months.
Smells fresh, looks fresh.
It does, it smells so
honestly,
nice.
I walked into Flav's flat and the first thing I said, smell those fucking fanzines.
Yeah.
That whole flat stank of just that newly printed glory.
It's hard to articulate, and I'm not being big-headed or kind of arrogant when we say how nice this is. It's just a
huge sense of pride, I think.
Yeah, and the fact that it's about Wild Lane and it dropped on the weekend, the week when the new stadium was announced, it's a celebration of the stadium as it was, not what it's going to be. And everyone understands that this is a correct step for Tottenham, probably, and all good things are going to happen in this new stadium. But to remember what 118 years of history, is that right? 118 sounds about right.
It sounds about right.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Hang on, it's in the 116 years. So it's just in my opinion, a great piece of work. And if you want to celebrate what White Hart Lane was and is and will be over the next year or so, then buy the fanzine, £3.50. The Fighting Cock. .co.uk/shop, and you can do that, and it gets delivered to your door.
I mean, it's not as tangible as stealing a seat from White Hart Lane or stealing a bit of grass, but you know, it's something that you can have as a memento to the
old place. Stands the test of time.
But also, we spend so much of our time just fucking reading shit nowadays. Like, instead of talking to people, we'll just be reading an article about somebody that somebody's written on fucking Soccer Lens or whatever. Like, actually reading stuff off a screen is not the same as picking up a magazine. Mm. And it's weird picking this up and opening it. Like, I bought a copy of When Saturday Comes the other day when I was on a flight, and I realised I haven't bought a magazine in years and years.
Yeah.
Magazines are fucking wicked. They need to make a comeback.
I think the print industry's on its arse, but if you're doing it right, and I think we are doing it right, people want to buy this stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Why not? It's £3.50. It's like less than a pint.
Yeah. I don't know. That is sex with someone from the north as well.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
That's 325, I think.
Speaking of people from the north, Baines has written an article in there. We've also got Bardi, you've written a brilliant article about your memories and how memories are formed inside a stadium.
How like a moment can actually scar the place.
So. And that's actually that's important going forward, because this is how new memories are going to be formed in the new White Hart Lane.
We're starting in a blank canvas. We can like forget the bad stuff and just take with us the good stuff.
And maybe develop a new mentality.
A new mentality and get rid of certain terms we use to describe ourselves as well.
Got shit.
Like Spursy.
Oh, right, Spursy, yeah. we've got Seb Stafford-Bloor, who is Premier League Al. He's written some good stuff. We've got Rob White. Vas Coney also wrote...
making his debut.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, buy it, get involved. Got to pour a little bit of liquor out for Bongani Kamalo, who has been with Spurs for 4 years and not made a single... single appearance.
I genuinely didn't know he'd left until I just read that.
Really?
Rest
in peace, homeboy.
1.5 million for zero games. Is that, other than maybe Soldado and Rebrov, is that our worst ever signing? 1.5 million, he never
depends
plays.
How much money he made in South
exactly.
Africa.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, was he a signing?
Yeah.
Or is he just something
dodgy seems to happen a lot of the time, I think, with these South African players. Yeah. Like, remember Mabuzela as well? Like, there was something weird about that, because he got really fat and then suddenly he scored that goal against Leicester and he was really fat and everyone got really annoyed. And I got family in South Africa and I went over there a few years ago just after Mabuzela had left the club and they were just all pissed off that we had ruined, Tottenham had ruined Mabuzela. He was pretty fucking bad already.
The amount of people, we Spurs as a club has pissed off huge sections of cities, like the people we've ruined, Soldado, we've ruined Rebrov, Mabuzela.
Looking as like a Facebook group of ex-players' families together, running.
Yeah. Who else have we ruined? We've ruined loads.
Load of Postiga.
Postiga.
Oh, Postiga was ruined to begin with. He was damaged.
I'm going to say Postiga
terrible.
Came back because he scored again. He scored some big goals for Portugal in tournaments, man. He scored one against.
That's nothing to do with Tottenham.
I'll tell you what, living in a little village of like 500 people, when Postiga scored that little chip penalty against England.
No, but he scored the equaliser.
I nearly got my head kicked in.
Anyway, let's talk about the reason why we're all here, why we've come off our holidays.
Yes.
Spent time with each other.
Because we missed you, Flav. That's basically it.
When we talked about doing it, I was like, really? It's not that big news, is it?
Yeah.
A new, brand new stadium, complete abolishment of our history. It's not that big a news. Anyway, stadium, how did you feel about it when it came out? Dan.
I feel a bit weird about it because I feel nothing about it. I don't share in the general joy that has been expressed over the last couple of days or so on social media because Spurs fans are fickle, football fans are fickle, but it seems everyone now is just like, Levy had it all along. He knew what he was doing the whole time. But actually, when you think about kind of what he's released, what actually is this that we didn't already know? We knew most of this stuff already. Really, being cynical, someone's drawn a picture.
Yeah.
That's kind of it, really. And I think, like, it's a little bit like going out with a girl and then her just going, I'm not going to shag you, or I will shag you in 2 years, but in the meantime, I've got the crayons out and I've done you a picture of my tits.
Do you know what? I was trying to find someone who could balance the argument away from the positivity of the stadium that I thought you was going
to. I don't mean to be negative. I just mean to be ambivalent. I mean, this sort of doesn't really.
You're being sensible,
this doesn't really mean it. Well, it's just it's not being sensible. It's just based on how this makes my heart feel, and compared to how much all the other stuff around Tottenham makes my heart feel. You know, Tottenham makes my heart beat faster. I feel fucking passionately about this club. I get excited when I think about new players. This doesn't actually really excite me. And I'll tell you the reason why, because I'm not being objective here at all. I already have a season ticket. I like the current stadium. I like my current seat. I'm already sort of involved in the club and have been there for sort of years and years and years. This is an amazing opportunity for everyone who's always wanted a season ticket to now get a season ticket. Mm. And that is why this is fucking amazing. Because people have sat on that list for years and years and years. I'm not one of those people, so I don't give as much of a fuck.
I'm in a weird position because I get offered a season ticket each year. I have for the last 3 or 4 years.
Do you?
And they've never taken it. I'm like 1,500 or 2,000 on a week.
And they keep coming back?
Yeah. And part of the reason was because I couldn't get in Park Lane Lower and that's where I would like to sit. And the other part of the reason was I get really annoyed when I go to Tottenham about the people around me and I don't want to be stuck with the same people around me for a year.
That is important.
Yeah. So that's mainly the reason why I haven't bought a ticket yet. And it wasn't the reason why I was happy that I might get a season ticket when the new stadium was announced. I'm very cynical, I think. I kind of hate the way football has become and given the fact that, you know, we're going to be sharing with an NFL club or the franchise in some way, and you know, this kind of the skywalk and the monorail and all that sort of stuff, and I shouldn't be excited.
Monorail.
I shouldn't be excited about that stuff, and I should really. And for a long time, I've said I like White Hart Lane. I don't really want to leave it. I did get carried away a little bit. I did get into it.
Really?
I was sold a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone has been. Everyone's gone for it.
What are the idea of this? I mean, there's been a couple of things kind of been talked about, you know, the cop end which is going to be special. Regardless, if you take away NFL, you take away all the stuff that's been talked about, to have one single tier end, the biggest in the country, that's something that makes me feel proud.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing, the stadium coming, because I'm really happy about it. Not because it means we're going to make more money or anything, but for the first time, for Spurs, we're always waiting that this is going to happen this year, this is going to happen, we're going to get top four, we're going to sign this person. For once, you've actually done something that we've promised. I know it's taken maybe 10 years that it's come. Every year, I've had to explain to people who don't really know about football, who come over from a different country and they see Wembley, Emirates, and they're like, what's wrong with Tottenham? And every year you're saying it's coming. This year it finally has come. It's here, pretty much. You know, I know it's still something might go wrong. They might find a sinkhole or something, but it's here.
Al, how do you feel about it?
I don't know, is the honest. I genuinely, and I feel bad because it sounds as if we're all trying to be like, or some of us are trying to be like hipstery, or I don't like it because it's all new and shiny.
No,
and everyone else likes it.
That was, you know what I mean? Hold on, no, let's stop.
what I mean is,
that, are you going to have that then? Later, after?
Yeah, I am.
I just mean, like, again, I like new, shiny things. And like I said, it's all very exciting when you see it, and you see the pictures, and it's all announced with a flash and a bang and a sparkle. But as much as I looked at it and I thought, yeah, that's probably the right decision for the club. That's going to be this. This is what money we're going to get. That's going to be great. That's going to be great. But I was still quite sad because it just doesn't.
There's nothing wrong with being sad about it.
Yeah.
There isn't nothing wrong because White Hart Lane has served us. Actually, I'm not saying White Hart Lane. This stadium that we have currently has served us greatly. And what's actually happened is a reimagining of White Hart Lane, I hope.
Well, I think that's the key point. I think none of us really know until it happens. If, you know, I think I was speaking to Ricky about it, and it was like, if there's an NFL badge anywhere on a Saturday at 3 o'clock, or Sunday, where it is that we're playing, then I won't like that.
Okay, so one part of the problem, let's deal with it. Well, there's other bits and pieces we're going to talk about, but let's deal with the NFL stuff, because it is quite important. Yeah, all right, you won't like it on the first time you rock up. The second time you think that annoys me, the third time you won't even look at it.
Okay.
And I have an issue with that because I spoke to my dad earlier, and he's been a Spurs fan. His first game that he went was in 61, the double winning season. And I asked him how he felt about the NFL thing, and he said, I don't give a flying fuck. I don't give a shit. I don't. If it helps Spurs building this new stadium, I don't care if someone else plays in that stadium every now and then or two times a season, whatever it is. And I kind of understood where he was coming from.
Yeah.
But it's the first step and it's not even the first step. We're kind of halfway along a system or a way of looking at football where essentially if you make money, you can make any decision you want to. And if that means an entirely different sport that isn't common in our country becomes normal, then that's just okay. And actually, it ain't okay. Is it?
I don't believe and I don't buy this sort of idea that this is going to make us the extra amount of money that will then get plugged back into the club in order to make us a top, consistent top four club. It isn't. That's not what all this is about. This is about selling the club for £1 billion.
Really?
100% that's why they're doing it. Mm. That's why this is a huge news for potential investors, but Enoch wants out and they want to sell at the absolute top of the market, and there will never be a toppermost part of the market than when you're about to move into a huge stadium which has got the NFL behind it as well. Levy and co want out, and there's all this talk this afternoon that Shahid Khan from Fulham is going to put a bid in.
And he also owns an NFL club as well, right?
Which is why he mistakenly believes that Tottenham Hotspur are worth £1 billion because he can then try and move the Jacksonville Jaguars over here.
Yeah.
And they are absolute shit, the Jaguars. He's done a very poor job, I think, of running both of his teams.
The amount of money that's involved makes me feel quite confident that there won't be any kind of NFL stuff there visible. Because if you think about the amount of money BT and Sky are pouring into it and the branding aspect of it, they're not going to allow the NFL or another team. Spurs won't allow it. The Premier League won't allow it for another sport to be advertised on the camera. Every single square inch is going to be Spurs, is going to be Premier League, is going to be Sky. You're not going to walk in. There won't be a big NFL crest.
They won't. Yeah, it doesn't. It won't bring anything to it. The NFL also doesn't really operate like that. Ultimately, really, they just want to sort of kind of build the presence in the UK. And they want more people on TV in the UK.
Are they really hoping that it'll have any impact? Because no, people aren't. It isn't going to take off like it, like football has.
It may have an impact, but it is big.
I mean, you know better.
If people don't know that. Dan Lowe runs or is involved in Americanage, which is all about American sports.
Yeah.
How big is NFL likely to be in the UK, in your opinion?
Well, that is a very difficult question to answer because I am sort of quite sceptical about what the NFL is trying to do in this country in order to build. Ultimately, what they're doing, the last few years or so, remember all that 39th game stuff that we had where we were just like, oh, there's no way they can take, you know, one premiership game and move it overseas once a year, and we were outraged about that. The NFL since 2007 has been doing that over here. So they started off taking one game out of the regular season, so one team loses one of their home games and has to now play it at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
That was just thought, it was an experiment to see whether people would sell out, whether the games would sell out and people would turn up, and that is what's happened. Year on year, very surprisingly, what the NFL has done is they've started moving more games. So a couple of years ago, they put two games over here. Then they've started putting three games. There's talk there's going to be four games. Well, they actually was four games last year, I think. And ultimately, this is all leading towards them putting a team from London into the NFL who will compete against the New York Giants, San Francisco 49ers.
Is that a bad thing?
I think it's a terrible idea because most people who like the NFL already support a team. I already support an NFL team and I'm not supporting the fucking London Bulldogs or whatever they're called.
Hmm. I work for an American company and every time I speak...
Burger King.
My size may suggest that. But yeah.
There's a bit of a...
Yeah, there is, isn't there?
Yeah. We can fight at half time. I'll periscope it.
Yeah.
We'll fight.
And I was quite interested to ask him those questions, because even when I was out there in December, you know, the rumours of Levy and NFL discussions had already been, you know, it was out there. And a lot of the feedback that I got, a lot of the people were watching at that time, were that that if it happens, it happens. You know, there wasn't like a huge like, oh, I think it's disgraceful, or, you know, it's taking the game away from us or whatever. People were quite excited, but also very interested to see how it was perceived over here.
Yeah.
And I think and since then, I seem to just see a lot more of people who are like us, you know, who I thought were kind of just, you know, box standard type of things, football fans that are very, very interested in it.
Yeah, the fan culture in the US is completely different to how it is here. I mean, here we are kind of inherently a bit more conservative. We really want to kind of make sure that our heritage and the way that we've sort of supported our clubs is not cracked down upon, and that modern football doesn't fuck around. In the US, they don't really, and they're not too bothered about that, because they exist in a market whereby your entire team can get moved to the next state and be called something else. So that is currently what's facing the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're the team that's most likely to get turned into the London whatevers. And most people in Jacksonville will be pissed off, but ultimately, will there be outrage across the US? No, there definitely won't.
I don't give a fuck whether people are outraged in the NFL. I don't care about whether or not they're destroying their sport or the identity of their sport. My problem is when it comes to a stage where at some point in England, a club is forcibly removed from their community and put in another country, and it may take 30 years for that to happen. And it may be that the first step is that there's an NFL. Let's get people used to the idea of a franchise. And that's what this feels like. It doesn't affect English football. There's another sport coming over playing in an English football stadium, and that's okay. But what it actually does is plant a seed in all of our heads and everyone who's goes to Spurs and whatever club they go to, that actually this is the way it's leading. And eventually this is going to happen to your club and you're going to be okay with it. And if you're not, there's going to be fucking 50,000 people from another country that have taken your season ticket. And that was my issue with it. Just as a caveat to that, in terms of business, Levy's pulled a masterstroke because he's... let me just read something out. Barty, do you want to say...
Well, I was just thinking it's a bit funny that once again Spurs are at the front of this. We were the first club to go to become a PLC.
Yeah.
We were one of the clubs that were involved in the First Division Sky Premier League breakaway.
Well, it's interesting with Levy's interview with the guy from Radio
Nihal.
One. Nihal, yeah, from Radio One. And he talked about the thing he's most proud of is the deal with NFL. And I was sitting there, I was thinking, that's what you're most proud of. The deal
he's
with
a businessman. He's a businessman.
Well, yeah, completely. Understandably. But he's also...
I'm not going to say employing Baldini or something.
Well, he's also the figurehead of our football club. And the fact that he's the thing he's most proud of about rebuilding and entering a new era of our football club, the thing he's most proud of is an NFL...
Well, he's...
A fucking business partner.
Yeah, you're right.
What he should actually... He's saying, actually, the thing I'm most proud of is...
Leaving Tottenham with a legacy.
A fucking Tottenham legacy. That's what he should have said.
He worded it incorrectly.
Hang on, can I just say,
interviews, he has said that, though. He has got to bang the legacy drum a fair.
Yeah, after the first one, when someone's probably told him.
Yeah.
Look, that was the only one I've seen, and that's the only one I can go by. Mm. But his first position should be to the Tottenham support, and the fact is that doesn't make business sense. And if pandering to Tottenham support doesn't make business sense, and actually pandering to... an entire franchise, a different sport in a country thousands of miles away does make business sense, then we're fucked, surely. And this is not where I thought the podcast was going.
Yeah.
It really were.
But it's because they want to sell the club, and they want to sell the club for a huge amount of money. I think, you know, that has been... People know that that's the ultimate goal. They have stuck around a little bit longer than most people thought, and I think on the whole they've run the club pretty well. There's quite a few things that I do disagree with, but I don't really feel that pissed off, and I still feel like I get value for money, even though I'm, you know, ripped off routinely every single season.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think they want out.
Yeah.
We've got a guy on our forum called Detroit Spurs, and he put in a neat little post. And
talking American.
Neat. What do we have? Neat in English?
Yeah.
That's American. American term, neat.
Neat.
No, it means tidy.
Neat and tidy.
Get on with
it. You're from the West Country, you barely speak English anyway.
Fuck off.
Anyway, right, so he posts, first, the NFL deal pays Spurs in two ways. They should receive between $1 and $2 million per game for the league rent. From the league for ground rent. They will also, however, get monies from concessions. Each game should net between $4 and $5 million. This means that the net value of a 10-year deal as written will be between £80 and £100 million. He also refers to this kind of link between Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook and Spurs as well. He says, second, while Zuckerberg and friends seemingly are doing due diligence on the club as a whole, the more likely scenario is naming rights. This is where the NFL deal comes in again. It's guaranteed global reach, plus Spurs deal with EA Sports means that the new ground and its name would be in both FIFA and Madden. Madden is a huge game in the States.
I suppose. It's the NFL version of FIFA.
Right, OK. A Canary Wolf expert estimates that the NFL deal could add 20% to any naming rights package, which was already valued at around $100 million before the deal. For about 10 years of rights. If that estimate holds true, the two deals together could net Spurs between $200 and $220 million, or a third to 40% of the ground's entire cost. As a businessman, you could see that makes utter sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and also he's got fucking Haringey Council, one of the poorest councils in the UK, to pay for pretty much the rest of it. So, yeah. Well done, Daniel Levy. Yeah. Clever man.
At Lily White Duke on Twitter, he says, what would be the worst or best naming rights for a new stadium?
I've got very strong issues on this. In fact, I'll walk away from the club and fuck my season ticket off if they don't do this. We need a Tottenham brand, a brand that we can all get behind, who we use on a regular basis and who bleeds our club, Percy Ingle.
Yes.
If the club is not called the Percy Ingle Match Play Stadium, fuck Tottenham.
It's amazing.
Chick-kins.
Good as well.
I was actually in Malta this summer and they have a chain of chick-kins. There's fucking loads of this in Valletta.
Don't you think just these are random people have had the same idea?
It's exactly the same branding as the one in White Hart.
Oh, really?
I saw three of them.
The naming politics of chicken shops, right, is a fascinating subject. You listened to Carl Donnelly's podcast a couple of weeks ago and they talk about the issues that people in chicken shops have with naming their chicken shop. Honestly,
what do you mean that people own like the people trademark on
it? Just have different names and they're just all taken. It's an absolute rat race.
I bought a book. This is a bit hipsterish, but I bought a book. I plead guilty, but I bought a book at Christmas a couple of years ago, which I saw in a bookshop, and it's called High Calorie Low Art or something like that. And it basically is about it's like an art coffee table book. And it's just all of the shop fronts of all the chicken shops in London. And then it's got a little story, and there's this little Indian dude who designs all of them. So he did, like, Dallas Chicken Ranger.
Yeah.
He did, like, kind of Texas. Like,
it's like Mafia.
Yeah, it is. It's one guy who basically does all of them. Yeah. The ones I like the most are the one where the chicken looks really happy that he's about to get eaten.
He's I would take a chicken... themed, named stadium.
Oh, yeah, I'm a vegetarian, I would as well.
Mm. I'm a vegetarian, I would not accept that.
I don't want a fast food... I don't want the stadium to be named after fast food.
I couldn't give
Ingles,
a fast
though. It's got to be Ingles.
Okay.
Ingles.
We've got, we're going to talk about naming the cop end of the new stadium in the second half. But I want to ask you, how does it make you feel, the fact that we're going to have a bigger stadium than the Scum? And despite all of their bitterness... comes from the fact that ours is going to be a thousand seater bigger. Or they're very angry about this.
I feel nothing about that.
Well, it's a mental thing. We're is bigger. It? We're better. I feel like that anyway. I mean,
any difference.
It sums them up. It sums them up that they're so upset about it.
I think we're a much bigger club than them anyway.
But the funny
we don't need a bigger stadium.
Have you heard they've started comparing about actual now seat space? And they're like...
Well, the size of each seat.
Our seat sizes are actually a little bit bigger, so if we wanted to, we could fit more.
But we choose comfort over...
How typical would that be?
I've got to say, I should never admit this, but when you do go to the Emirates and you sit on those seats, if you do sit down... That shit is comfy.
Yeah, but that's an insult in my eyes.
It's terrible. I can't believe I'm.
It's like
that.
A cinema seat, isn't it? But this goes into the fact, and this is what's glorious. And the only thing, not the only thing, I was quite happy about a lot of things, but one of the fact that they've considered this made me very, very happy. And the fact that they've built in provisions for the change in legislation for safe standing. And that was in from officially from the club.
Mm.
And we did a survey maybe 2 or 3 years ago. We spoke to just over 2,000 fans about safe standing. Would they want it at White Hart Lane? Would they be willing for White Hart Lane to be a trial stadium in this instance? And it was something like 94% said, yeah. It's what fans want across England. Celtic have just said, yeah, we're going to do it. It's great that the club are open to it, because the response when we did that survey was like, it will never happen. But now they're like, well, we built it in. So safe standing is something everyone wants, surely.
It is, yeah, it's very low risk as well for the club to have sort of committed to that to the point where they've just said they'll do it if the licensing agreement
changed. That's the way they've
changed,
always been about that.
Which is kind of like, you know, it can seem really bold, but actually, like, you know, safe standing may not come back, so they aren't actually necessarily committing to it. But it just shows that almost everything that everyone said about all of this has been incorporated in some way. And the Wembley stuff, I think, is also a good example of this.
Mm.
Because I definitely thought, like, speaking to the Trust, that they were sort of going to much more present Milton Keynes as a bit more of a fait
accompli.
Yeah. And it seems... I think what the club's doing is very, very smart about Wembley. Like, the way that they're kind of getting the Trust and implying that if we put pressure on Wembley, that Wembley will, like, relent and then we won't go to Milton Keynes Dons. They're putting it all on the FA's... They're putting the ball on the FA's court.
Yeah.
We're playing at the Milton Keynes Dons Arena in 2016-17, I guarantee you.
Jesus Christ.
I absolutely guarantee you that will happen.
It might not,
but I do think it is going to end up happening, because I don't think the FA are going to...
It shows how fucking Machiavellian the club are. The fact that actually they're absolving themselves of responsibility and actually saying the choice between MK Dons and Wembley lies in the hands of Greg Dyke.
They don't really have any choice. Like, I think it's fair enough. I'm not blaming Levy for that, but I do think we are going to end up, for numerous reasons. Do you want to hear a conspiracy theory about why we're going to
Definitely. 100%.
We go to Wembley.
Yep.
We struggle to sell out Wembley or get anywhere near 60,000. What that is going to do to season ticket prices the following year is it's going to show that they're going to have to lower season ticket prices, because we will not be able to hit the 60,000. Because everyone goes, oh, there's a 60,000 waiting list. But that doesn't necessarily mean 60,000 people are going to fucking buy them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if we reveal our hand and show that we can't get anywhere near 60,000 at Wembley, that is going to have huge implications for the first season of season tickets. Whereas if you go 30,000 at MK Dons the previous season, everyone... Like, there's a real kind of hot anticipation. This is the hottest ticket in town. So many people won't be able to even go to the Milton Keynes Dons game that they'll have Tottenham blue balls by the time season tickets go up for sale in the 61,000.
I genuinely could not agree with you more. That beef is done.
Fucking hell.
Between us.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I can't never fight again.
Good, yeah. I came down here for some happy stuff.
Do you know what? I now understand why I wind people up. Like, people just want to enjoy their football club. They want to enjoy a bit of good news. And what you've done, Dan, is you shut down my
throat. I don't mean to do that. Like, I'm just saying this is the
thing. You're right. That's the thing. It wouldn't bother me if you weren't, right?
These are very hard-headed businessmen who manage the kind of difficult job of making a lot of money without pissing off too much the people who give them most of that money. They've been very good at that the last few years or so, and I think they've got the balance just about right.
All right.
But you can't... it would be naive to think they're not thinking about this.
Yeah, and of course.
I think what it boils down to is there is an element of excitement, but there's also a huge element of scepticism and probably worry, because we don't know what's going to happen and how it's going to play out. When we talk about flipping it over on the positive, things like that cop, if it's done properly, it could be amazing. And regardless of what else happens in terms of NFL, in terms of where we are for the season away, that cop could end up being one of the most glorious things that's ever happened to Tottenham.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not saying that we're not excited about things and we're not looking forward to
stuff. That's it. Come on out. Yeah. Where else?
But there's a huge... It's just an element of, as ever with Tottenham, cautious optimism.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell. Well, look, if that is the case, right, if it does go to the FA, if Craig Dyke has to make a decision between Spurs and Chelsea, or both of us together at Wembley playing game in, game out, every weekend there's a game at Wembley, whatever it is, if it is down to Craig Dyke, then are you really saying that Levy is removing his card, essentially? He's allowing Wembley or the FA to make a decision?
He's trying to force Greg Dyke's hand. Ultimately,
to stay at Wembley, and then that would go against what you're saying.
He's trying to force Greg Dyke's hand to accept the $8 million that he's offered, which is reportedly less than what Chelsea have offered.
Yeah,
he's only going to really want to go to Wembley if it's a bargain. There's also the kind of the conspiracy about the 30,000.
That isn't what you think. That's just a conspiracy theory.
There is no proof for any of that, but that's, I think, a sort of reasonable guess based on the information that we have to hand. That Levy is a hard-headed businessman, and we don't know that.
Yeah, there's nothing sensationalist.
By the same token, then, it would be a lot easier for him just to go to Milton Keynes and play there. But what he's actually doing there is just, it's a bit of PR.
Political implications of doing that and just saying you're moving to Milton Keynes Dons, there's no fucking debate about it, especially given the consultation where everyone came out and said we don't want to go to MK Dons. And one of the reasons that MK Dons, I mean, what the Trust has sort of like found out about MK Dons is that partly anyone who's even been to that stadium, it's nowhere near Milton Keynes Stadium.
It's a long way away.
Yeah.
How far?
It's 11 minutes on a bus with no traffic.
Honestly, have you ever been there?
You can't walk it. Well, you can walk it, but it's a long way.
Have you ever been there?
Milton Keynes,
yeah.
To
the stadium.
Pick Ricky up in Wolverton.
Honestly, I went to go pick up my missus from... She's like eating at Frankie and Benny's, which is just opposite. It is the most...
She went to Milton Keynes to eat at Frankie and Benny's.
It's a long story, yeah. But it's just... There's no... You wouldn't know what stadium it is. You wouldn't know that it's a football stadium. You wouldn't know that it was a hockey stadium. You wouldn't know anything. And it isn't. I thought, right, I'll get the Milton Keynes. But you're right. It's just on an industrial state about 5 or 6 miles outside it.
It's the one thing, I think, that just pushes you over the edge once you get there, considering how far you've already travelled, how far you've got to drive, how bad the roads are in and out, which we know about Milton Keynes as well. It's the one thing that would just piss you off. For the first game, it'd be fun. By the second or third game...
Yeah, but there's swings and roundabouts, because there's plenty of people that live around that company and drive here.
Is that a joke?
Yeah.
The swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, it was. And I thought I was just going to do it in a really nice partridge way.
Yeah.
And you've just brought it up.
Don't try and drive a wedge between us. I didn't realise too late. That ship has sailed.
Anyway, look, the trust of this thing going on, in partnership with the club about pushing... Greg Dyke to make the right decision in allowing Spurs to play at Wembley in the season that we will be building over the current White Hart Lane. You can email your letters to chairman@thefa.com. There's a template on the Trust website, thstofficial.com.
Shall we ask them to make them slightly more sophisticated than Wendy's? Kiss his face on the pitch.
That Billy T wrote a really nice one.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
It's really good. Check it out.
Yeah, I mean, anything that helps.
Oh yeah,
really. Anything that prevents us to moving to the hellmouth that is
the MK Stadium.
I can't even.
I mean, it'd be the worst. I mean, any bragging rights we have against Arsenal would completely, you know, it would just destroy everything.
Although saying that, I tried explaining that to an Arsenal fan who said to me about it, and I said, oh, you know, that's what we'll lose. We'll lose that kind of, even he didn't even
No, but they moved permanently. We're like, our house has got flooded, yeah. And we moved to a hotel for... Yeah.
But how are you going to say, you're a franchise football club, and then they say to us, well, you played for a season and supported the franchise football club world.
That's the crutch.
You couldn't ask them. You couldn't argue. Right now, we have the moral high ground because they're scum bastards.
It's the only thing we have.
You're right about like it moving out your house, moving into a hotel, but it's that fucking hotel that Alan Partridge lived on.
Yeah.
Just off the ring road.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's soulless.
Between.
And all it's going to be good for is fucking hotel breakfasts and wanks.
Yes, absolutely. And there's nothing more hollow than wanking in a hotel on your own.
Terrible.
I've been there.
The only thing more hollow than that. The only thing more hollow than that is the next morning when you get up and you just think, well, at least I've got hotel buffet breakfast. And you have that anticipation. You just think, yeah, that is amazing. I still like a hotel buffet breakfast. That's all right. I can have whatever I want. Mm. And you get over to the bit, the hot food bit, and you open it up and the egg has got that water in it.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah. Where the fuck does that come from? Do you know what? Do you know what's worse, Dan, is when you don't get to the egg water, when you get up and there's a woman standing there and she says... It's not included in your room.
Yeah. Oh,
that's worse. Because then you just turn around and go, I apologise, I'm going to go back to my room and play with my core.
Well, I've been in a hotel for like 4 nights over the last like 10 days, and you're actually right. Mine was the worst bit, is the shame of just waking up in the morning and making yourself a little cup of tea with that tiny kettle.
Yeah.
And you just sit there on the end of the bed drinking your cup of tea.
And the kettle that you could crush in your hand. Yeah.
Do you know, if I'm wrong about, like, say, four of the five things that I've said today, I'll get a pint of that egg water from all of the hotels in London.
Boil it in one of those little tiny cups you see out the
thick
of it.
I'll down it in one.
Yeah.
Live on the podcast. Egg water mucky pint.
Let's have a little bit of fun and games for a second. So we've got this new great big end, which will be impressive, regardless of what happens to the rest of the stadium and there will be a moment where we walk into that stadium and Spurs will be playing there.
Unless you've gone right instead of left and you've gone all the way to the bottom, you have to fucking walk up the whole single tier again.
A little request.
Count that negativity.
A little request on Twitter asking us to rename the cop. You can't call it the cop because bin dippers have got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't take that off them because that'd be like stealing off a tramp in the street. So, some of the people on Twitter, Tim, you know, we love Tim Greek, he says the Wimmer Rimmer. That's what the whole stand, the whole stand should be called. The Kiss Cam Family Stand.
That's very American.
Billy T, who's coming on the podcast early next season, said the Wayward Andros Townsend Shot Trajectory.
Yeah, that's why they've actually built that stand.
Yeah. We also have the Gatorade Wall of Sound. That's drunk.
I like it.
Harry Rick says the Kipper. Meadows Mount. The Yop as an amalgamation of Yid and Cop.
That's
the
my Yop. Favourite.
Yop!
I used to like Yop, the drinking yoghurt. Do you remember that?
It was really good.
It was fridge before fridge.
Yop.
They didn't have it in the West Country.
It's basically pre-86. Yeah.
Fresh goat milk.
Yeah.
But he's heard of the...
Fresh goat milk. Straight from the teat.
Literally, there's children drinking from goats in the street in Gloucester.
He's never heard of Yop, but he's heard of the marshmallow jam that you can spread marshmallow on your fucking
Fluff.
Toast.
Fluff.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
No,
yeah.
What
the fuck's that?
I love the fact that he's taken a piss out of West Country, yet when my dad was in town and recorded a little message for Flav saying he was going to beat him up, I've never seen him shit himself as much as you did.
I felt fine until he said boy at the end. That was the moment I shit myself and he goes, I'm going to get you, boy.
And I think you look like a girl.
You look like a little girl. I'm going to get you, boy. And yeah, your daddy is quite scary.
If someone calls you sunshine just before they give you a slap, that's also
sunshine because it's such a nice thing to call someone.
Yeah.
And then you're right. Townsend Shooting Gallery, the AIA Cop End presented by Under Armour.
Presented by Under Armour.
Can we have something about Ledley? Like Ledley's
Yeah, the king. Shin. The king, that was, it's supposed to be called. The White cartilage. Heart. The White Wall. This came up over and over again. Ugh. We can't have a fucking football stadium.
I thought it was a really good name until I heard it was something like Game of Thrones.
You can't have a...
I like it.
You, yeah. It doesn't like matter it. How much
it's
you like it.
Dork.
It's our fucking main
I'm a
end.
Dork.
Our main end of our stadium can't be named after a fantasy fucking thing.
Exactly.
Well, it has okay, dragons, tits, dwarves and... White Walkers.
White Walkers.
Yeah,
I quite like, there was one by at Zed Purs, so Spurs, but using Zed.
Just tell us what it is.
Call it the Archroy, after Archroy Steel.
That's good. Yeah. That's yeah. Good, yeah. If they sponsored it just to fuck Levy off with all their millions.
So, do you reckon it would be made from, like, Archroy Steel?
Yeah. Well, they do make...
kebab skewers.
They make the kebab spits in my local kebab shop.
Yeah,
well, it's very nice.
Yeah. So you should suicide bomb that on the way home.
Do you think so?
I think so. Oh. I'm not a big fan of kebab. I'm a big fan of the way animals are treated to get that kebab.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say I'm a big fan of suicide that way? Bombing.
Yeah. Sheep's are cunts though, aren't they?
Yeah,
I've always
especially
that.
The little ones.
Yeah,
really fucking moaning, yeah. About barring and all that. So why don't you just fuck off for a bit? So we don't. The farmers don't have to hear you whinging about being torn apart.
I'd like to just.
Stop whinging.
Whinging.
You should make soft coats. That's what your fucking job is to do.
You should make coats for Ron Atkinson.
Yeah. Could you imagine? The pinnacle of a lamb's existence is to be on the shoulder of Ron Atkinson as he was racist to Desai. That was the pinnacle moment for that lamb.
I died for this.
Yeah.
That's a load of shit.
Absolutely. All right, that's it. We've got Windy. I don't know what the fuck is he talking about, the stadium or you've
he's got Bants apparently.
Has he?
Bants.
Oh, so.
Yeah. Windy, about to draw the fucking knowledge, blood. I see you, I got your back. Windy. Windy. Yes, Windy. No pedo.
And now that's done, some youth news. Spurs have released a number of players who are at the end of their contracts and scholarships. Those are Jordan Archer, Christian Ceballos, Daniel Akindiani, Aaron McAneff, Alex McQueen, Jonathan Miles and academy player Lloyd Ross. It was also announced a couple of days ago that Thomas Lagermelt, not Thomas Lagermelt, as many people seem to think I was saying, has left the club. He's had a recent unsuccessful trial spell with Rubin Kazan. Harry Winks has signed a new contract until 2018 with an option for another year. He's now being linked with a loan move to Rangers, who are of course managed by Mark Warburton. Spurs have a link with Warburton. He was the manager of Brentford, where Alex Pritchard obviously did so well last year. Warburton's also a Spurs fan and was the co-founder of the Next Gen series, which Spurs participated in. I imagine during that time he would have got to know academy manager John McDermott pretty well. Midfielder Grant Ward has been playing in pre-season with Rotherham at the Championship. It's unclear whether that would be with a view to a permanent or loan move. Hopefully a loan move, as he's still a promising young player. Spurs have yet to announce the academy intake for the forthcoming year. I wonder whether that's something to do with the Marcus Edwards situation. Most of the other young players have sort of tweeted and put on Instagram pictures of them signing their contracts. But as yet with Edwards, we've not seen anything like that. So I don't know whether he signed anything or signed up with a different club. We'll wait and see on that one. Finally, Kyle Walker-Peters has had a haircut. He's got rid of his dreadlocks. He's gone with a short, spiky number. Yeah, it's all right. That's it for now. If you're interested in more young players, follow me on Twitter at Windy Coys. That's Coys for Come On You Spurs.
Second half of the Fighting Cock podcast. Thank you so much, Windy, for your youth updates. It's a shame you couldn't be down for the pod because he hates...
Americans.
Yep.
He does hate Americans.
Does. And Australians. Hates Italians.
That's true.
And Eastern Europeans.
The Arabs. Yeah. Hates black people.
Hates
black
everybody, people. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always the quiet ones.
A racist, nasty piece of work. This is
obviously... We did a really nice Periscope the other day. Periscope is one of these things I'm trying to get into. But his Periscope was really good. I was walking around Costco watching it.
It was nice, actually. He said...
walking around Costco.
You're always in Costco.
It is good Costco.
You're either in Costco or IKEA.
I got a girlfriend who's obsessed with shops and stuff. So she can't drive yet, so I have to drive.
What we should say is, obviously, Windy isn't a racist.
No.
Well,
maybe. Just mildly intolerant.
Yeah, which is fine. We all are to some degree.
Yeah. Everyone's a little bit racist.
Yeah. Especially when they cut you up when you're in the car.
Amazing.
That's the get out.
That's how you know you're racist, when someone from another ethnicity cuts you up in the car. What comes out of your mouth at that point is. That defines you as...
You're a steering wheel racist.
Yeah.
Out of your mouth, not even in your mind, out of your mouth, physically out of your mouth.
Yeah.
You're fucking... That
might have been, yeah.
That's something I didn't
know. They're trying to kill you, essentially. And if you can't be racist at the point where someone is trying to take your life, when can you be racist?
What a spectacular hole this is that he's digging.
I'm lying on top of the hole. The hole ain't there. It's fine.
Anyway.
Speaking of which, not that I should even admit this, working for an equal opportunities employer, on New Year's Eve, I'd driven my friend's bag. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning. I was just driving across down by the monument to Tottenham to get back to where I live. And this bloke stood out in front of me. He had a wife and a kid, a baby, in swaddling. He was from a southern European country, and he stood out in front of me, and I was getting a bit annoyed because he just walked out in front of the car and I had to stop, and he turned around and looked me in the eyes, and then he drew his finger across his neck.
Why?
Like Undertaker.
What have you done?
I hadn't even said anything at this point, and I was really, really freaked out, and I have had a lot of bad luck since then.
Yeah, really?
So yeah, definitely.
He wasn't draped in an ISIS flag.
He wasn't. He was somewhere from. He was from one of the European countries.
Yeah.
And he literally dragged his finger across. And I've never seen anyone in real life
actually do that.
Yeah. But yeah, so
basically at that point he was ready to kill you.
For no reason.
The last time you was on the pod, you said you don't want to die, but you wouldn't mind being murdered.
Yeah, good point.
I get that completely.
Yeah.
That you live on forever.
And people would just be really sort of safe about you. They'd just be like, "Oh, I'm sad. Dan's got
murdered,
chopped up."
Yeah. I'd like a lot of good sound bites about you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd like to. Like, they'd overlook how bad you were in life.
Yeah.
Your YouTube hits would go fucking
definitely. But also just being like banged over the head and someone runs away—that's rubbish. I want to absolutely be disintegrated. Definitely. I want to have my head in someone's fridge for weeks.
So, people ask, are you going to bring the away days back?
Maybe. Well, here's the thing. The issue is, I mean, I actually really enjoyed doing the one. We only did one last year, and I actually enjoyed doing that. Mm. Not, obviously, I didn't enjoy having the fucking Fiorentina security guard stick his finger up my arsehole.
That's right.
Which was
an
experience
that.
I've not really kind of ever quite got over. But, but yeah, the big problem with that now is that, I don't know if other people know this or not, but Tim is going to be cutting back his away day trips next year. I don't know how many he's going to do. I mean, I've just put the first applications in for away games this year for Man City and Leicester away, and I don't think Tim will go to either of them.
Why?
He's got other responsibilities now. He's got to go and be a man about something.
Such is life.
Yeah. It's hard. It's quite hard for me to deal with that, and otherwise I just have to do it on my... I just have to do it on my own.
I'll come with you.
Yeah? Do you want to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Anybody who wants to. And I can drive as well now, so you can get pissed in the car.
Put in an application. I'll give you my details, as long as I don't have to do anything at all.
No?
Apart from turn up.
Done. All right, well, I'll tell you what. There'll be away days next year, but it's going to be guest spots for people across the board, because there's going to be much lesser Tim.
I'd like to do one.
Yeah, Fighting Cock away days.
You're in.
Merge.
Yeah, we should do a mash-up.
Let's do a mash-up. We've got thousands of
It's going to be like Run DMC versus Jason Evans.
Yes,
absolutely. Let's do that. Okay.
Just Flav's eyes slowly just getting further and further apart.
Flav getting twatted at service station.
Yeah. Or masturbating. Sorry. I do a lot of masturbating.
Do you? Not in my car, you don't.
Yeah, but you'll enjoy it. Don't know why.
Well, to be fair, I haven't experienced it, so
I'll give you the eye.
Oh my god. Yeah,
and then you'll go, all right then, fair enough.
Yeah, you're in, fine, this sounds great, I can't wait.
Spurs have made 3 signings this summer so far.
Yeah.
We've signed Trippier.
Yeah.
Of Burnley.
Solid.
Wimmer.
Yeah.
And Toby.
Toby out of a reld.
Out of a reld.
Out of a reld. He's out of his reld.
All right, let's start with Trippier. I think that he will be England's right back this time next year.
Do you?
I'm only saying this because it sounds like something Windy would say, and I want to be able to play this back a year later. But actually, if you look at his stats, which are important.
Yeah.
Loads of crosses and that.
But no,
I think
right backs for Tottenham always turn out to be good, don't they? So I'm sure this is going to work out fine.
Well, I've been talking about us signing a decent right back for many, many months, and we have done. I don't know whether he's going to be decent, but you think, based on everything that's happened,
I genuinely haven't seen enough of him.
Really, I watched a lot of Burnley games last season. Well, not a lot, but I watched several. I don't feel I noticed Trippier in any of them.
Mm. But you're not supposed to notice right backs.
Yes, you are.
You kind of, you are a little bit, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to, because he will be good, I'm looking forward to having balance at left back and right back. Because normally it's always one side that's really shit,
yeah,
and the other side that's decent. So.
And also, if one is out, then we have got someone, like, rather than shifting people
over. And maybe
over.
This could be like the Davies effect. This signing Trippier can have an effect on Walker. Like, signing Davies had an effect on
Rose. Where Rose is an intelligent footballer, Walker would have to be intelligent in order to benefit from the fact that there's another right back. I'm unsure whether Kyle Walker is sure that we've actually signed another right back at all.
No.
I'm not sure he knows at all.
He's not a clever lad, is he?
No, he's thick as shit.
Also, that game against Burnley away, which Trippier played in, Kyle Walker was an absolute start to finish disgrace before he got injured and went off.
Yeah.
That was his worst performance of the season, and that is saying plenty.
And then we've also got Kevin Wimmer.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Cologne. So, yeah, I don't know how good he is either. But did we need another centre-back on?
I think, we were just talking in the break, weren't we? And I think we were just saying then that it looks to me as if there is a kind of a backup centre-half pairing in terms of Dyer and Wimmer, maybe as your League Cup, Europa League.
What do we do with all the other centre-backs?
Because there's eight of them at the moment.
So there's Cabal.
Well, Cabal's gone, isn't he? Cabal will go.
But he's still there now.
Yeah.
We could play a back eight with wing-backs.
Good idea.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It's better than back three.
That'll sell out 60,000 season tickets. Yeah.
But Cabal will go, Fazio will go. Well, I don't know about that. Well, Cabal, Kiriquez will go. Can we accept that those two are more than likely gone?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So then what you've got, who are we left then with? Fazio would, be the right out of the squad. If he doesn't go,
I can't see how he's going
to
play.
It seems to me that Wimmer, Dyer will be the progression centre backs, whereas Jan and Verlaerd.
You see, the thing is about Trippier and Wimmer, they're just punts. There's not a big lot of money involved. Wimmer, he's young. The worst case scenario, like Holtby, you flip him in 2 years, you get the same kind of money, maybe a little bit more. Alderweireld, there's a little bit more kind of invested in there, but he played with Vertonghen. I think when they played at centre backs at Ajax, they had like a 65% win ratio when they were playing together. And we've seen him; he's Premier League experience, and that's kind of what we're going for. Wimmer is a punt.
It's quite a big deal when you sign a proven centre back. Proven centre back, but then also a centre back that's played in a proven centre back partnership.
My only fear is he's left-footed, yeah? That's the impression I get. So he's left-footed. Vertonghen's left-footed.
But so was Dawson King.
Dawson was right-footed.
Yeah, Dawson and King are both right-footed is what I'm saying. So that works out fine.
King was both-footed, wasn't he, really? Well,
yeah. But you look at all the stuff that's happened since Jan Vertonghen was a good footballer. Like, gay marriage has passed. The Greek economy has fallen to pieces. There's been about 4 or 5 iPhones.
Yeah.
Like, that was a long, long time ago. So
ISIS have come into the
fold. There was no ISIS before. No one was getting chucked off of buildings.
Yeah.
And stone to death.
There was a distinct lack of beheadings before.
The world was actually quite a safe place when Vertonghen was good at football.
Yeah, what he needs to do is become good at football and then everyone would be
much
happier.
Do you think so?
Just rebalance it.
Yeah, Tunisia would be a much safer place.
I think it's very well saying us, Wimmer's a punt and Kieran Trippier's a punt and us being kind of underwhelmed by these signings. But I think what everyone has said at the end of last year and the beginning of this year is, look, we've got some Paul Mitchell, Pochettino together now. We want players who they obviously deem as mouldable and someone that they can, make into what they want the team to be like and the philosophy that they want the team to have.
I feel
so there might be a huge amount of underwhelmment.
Yeah.
Was it weird? Underwhelmment with a few signings this year, but that's essentially what we've asked for. We've asked for them to have who they want.
When we spend big, we spend bad. So I'm happy to go with the punts. Look at Dyer. Dyer was how much? I can't even remember.
4 million, right?
4 million. And he was superb.
Yeah.
Not superb, well, but certainly, you know, he's got talent.
He contributed a lot more than...
But a West Ham goal was enough alone, wasn't it, to be fair?
Yeah, than the amount we
spent. I'd have sold him then.
Yeah, the amount we spent on him.
No, I think it doesn't. I'm not underwhelmed by these signings at all. I think kind of, you know, buying big, really expensive players is a false economy nowadays. The players who you would spend about 40 or 50 million on, who are, you know would come to Tottenham and do a job and be great, they don't want to come to Tottenham anyway. Yeah, so there's no absolutely. Point in sort of like thinking that. We have to spend loads and loads of money to get players who might still potentially be a risk. And I think Lamella sort of like falls into that category. Not everyone else is falling over themselves. But there's all this talk today, supposedly, by the time the pod goes up, this probably isn't going to be an issue, that Llorente, that's been talked about, and supposedly we're going to stick 10 million on him, which is quite an interesting signing, I guess. It's not a huge risk at 10 million.
There has been a little bit of ITK, as much as you try and ignore it, it does come up. And there is, I think from a couple of people that have said, you know, there is that a striker deal was essentially done and within the next 3 weeks of someone who was of named quality, whether that is, and Llorente sounds like one of those people that would be worth a punt.
Well, I mean, we've been after Llorente since he was at Bilbao, under Bessia,
Bielsa,
right?
Well, it was even before Bielsa, he was still a player.
He was the bollocks there, though.
I don't know if the pre-season friendly. The evening, the afternoon of the riots when that kicked off.
Yeah.
That was Llorente. He scored a couple of goals against us.
I always remember him when it was linked with him, and he said, I wouldn't go to Tottenham, they're not even in the Europa League, let alone Champions League.
Well, he was kind of right.
I always thought that Bilbao friendly, the whole point of it was actually to sign Llorente. That was the talk
all along.
That had been set up specifically to do the deal for him.
Then he saw the fires and he was just like, fuck that.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark Duggan.
I think he's a really good signing.
So he went to Juve?
There was a little bit of problems at Bilbao because he... He wanted to go. They didn't want to let him go, so they allowed his contract to run down. So he ended up wasting a year of his life at Bilbao, not really happy. They weren't really happy, and then he went to Juve on a free.
Soldado wasted 2 years of his life, and two years of mine.
Soldado has wasted 30 years of his life,
just by existing.
But Llorente is an excellent signing because he'll teach Kane a lot. And the thing
what kind of player is he though, Llorente?
I think he's Adebayor with a first touch. The impression I get, he's tall, he's saying he's strong is a bit, you know, everyone uses that, but he's got a good touch, he's good in the box, can hold the ball up, and he's got a presence. Soldado is a little bit too small.
There's a little bit of elegance to him as well.
Yeah. He can drop deep and stay up as well, which is he's quite a good poacher, although he hasn't scored enough goals probably for Juventus last season, especially, or he hasn't played as many games. Yeah. But I think what's going to happen is you'll see Harry Kane, if they do play two strikers, which I don't think they will much of the time, is they're going to use Harry Kane to just drop deeper and deeper and deeper, which is what he's been doing, to just draw people out of position, because Pochettino really likes that.
Yeah.
He likes Kane taking people with him and causing havoc on the halfway line, and I think, you know, it does that. System is more effective. You've got someone who can stay up.
And as we've seen, training for Pochettino is something really important. And if you've got someone who's that experienced, he's played in two big teams. Well, Bilbao's not huge, but you know, it's pretty big, and he's played at Juve. He'll learn a lot. Kane will learn a lot, and it's about getting the right players around the right youngsters. Even for example, West Ham, when they had Joe Cole, who was a youngster, they put Di Canio next to him, and people learn stuff off each other.
I think
you can't have a team of youngsters, you can't have a team of old players. You've got to find the right balance, and I think he will offer us more in training and as a squad player than Adebayor and Soldado are doing at this moment.
At the end of the season, I thought one of the things that we have to strengthen on is buying two wide men, someone to challenge Chadli for his place. And actually, someone who's going to establish themselves as the best right-hand side, inside, forward, or whatever you want to call them, at the club. If we do sign the top striker who is going to start every game, then Kane perhaps could take any one of those roles. And it's a bit of a shame for Kane, because he really did establish himself as our best forward, and if not one of the... Actually, probably the best English forward in the league.
Last season, without doubt, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a shame that he will be pushed into... To kind of fill a gap.
It also takes the pressure off Kane, because the second season, everyone goes on about second season syndrome. It does take a little bit of weight off his shoulders, because Soldado can't score, man. He can't do anything. Kamalo's probably scored more goals than him recently. And then you've got Adebayor. And if you've got someone there like Llorente to take a bit of weight off his shoulders, it's a good thing.
I do worry, though, that if we do move Kane into positions like that to try and, you know, and he does more of that type of thing of dropping off or maybe coming out further wide and stuff, that he'll be deemed as it, because he won't perhaps score quite as many goals as he did last season, that it'll be deemed as if it is second season syndrome by everyone outside of a club, which then, you know, affect him going forward. I do worry about that. It's going to be interesting to see how he's managed next year and what the plan is for him.
That would be a kind of press narrative.
Yeah, exactly. But say that doesn't have an effect on players sometimes.
I don't think it does, actually.
It does on a lot of players, but I think Kane has got a lot. We all know that Kane's got a lot more to his goal game than just knocking the ball in, and I think they recognise that. And I think actually what you're saying is completely, totally correct. I think it does take the pressure off him having someone else who can poach some goals. But I think we're all talking about this as if Llorente is going to join Tottenham.
Exactly. We're all
and the whole thing. Yeah. Here's the other. Just to be cynical again. Here's the other thing that happens now. It's happening a few years ago, but fuck knows it's happening every single sign now. Mm. Is agents are just planting all this stuff in the press and saying that Tottenham are close to buying this player just so they can get a deal from someone else.
That's
been the case with Lovetzi. It's been the case with this Mitrovic bloke.
Yeah.
It's the case with
Monaco kid getting his new contract and all the rest.
Yeah,
of it.
It's exactly the same with Anthony Martial. You know, I don't believe Tottenham are really in for any of these players, and like we're just getting absolutely bummed by all the agents.
Yeah, maybe.
Not a bad place to be. at least they're talking about us.
It's great.
We're not aiming high, are we?
Yeah. You're way too glasses half full on almost everything we've talked about. Yeah, it's all great. It's fine.
If I don't, honestly, I'll be dead.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, you'll be talking about this very sad, very, very sad story about a man who hung himself in his front room because Wimmer only played 5 games next season.
If that's what sends you over the edge, you aren't going to make it anyway.
If Wimmer plays 10 games, I'm safe.
Yeah,
right. Fuck it.
Okay. Yeah. But if you do have a problem, you should call Calm.
Absolutely.
A really good service.
We actually haven't talked about Calm, have we? We talked about it loads last season. I haven't got all the details in front of me, so
there'll be a bumper Calm session on the first episode of next year.
Absolutely. 100%. Okay, we've got a question from Reddit. Eri Coys, E-R-I Coys. He says, with the defence sorted, who should we be looking at in the next window or this window, and what is your top priority? Where do we need to strengthen? What do you think we need to do?
I think it all depends on whether Eriksen comes back to form next season, because that is going to be ultimately decide what that team does. Really.
How are they going to circumnavigate that? Because we won't know until the end of the window.
Well, I think we're going to know in probably... Yeah, that's true.
Pre-season.
That midfield ultimately needs a ball winner. Because we can't, the Bentaleb-Mason combo is not really serving either of those players, and you'd have to think on talent that it's going to be Bentaleb. They're going to build the team, the midfield a little bit around him, but you need a player behind him to give him license to go forward a little bit. You need someone who can win a tackle, because towards the end of last season, I mean, I really thought that midfield, although we did well last season, we finished fifth, you can't argue with that, and we won a lot of games. That midfield was an absolute shambles for quite a lot of it, especially after the Carling Cup final.
Yeah. That would suggest that it doesn't take that much to turn us into a deep, very decent side.
It definitely doesn't. I think we just need to get a ball-winning midfielder. I'd even, as we were talking like in the break, I would even consider playing Eric Dier there, because he's not really going to get anywhere else. And I do think he's cultured enough, a good passer, to suggest that he could play a sort of sweeper-ish role. And I just think Eriksen has got to come back to form, because he was so poor for so many games.
Absolutely.
After Christmas, and he was sort of a little bit like that previous season as well.
Yeah.
I know it seems that it's pretty much been decided, with what you've seen in the press, but how much you can believe it, but do we think Stambouli's been given a good enough shot? As much as that European game when I saw him run and I thought, fuck, if Flav could actually run faster than him, he was that slow.
All right.
That it was... other than that, but he just never seemed to be given a shot. He never had a 4 or 5 games in the team. I'd like to see whether he could do it first.
Do you reckon, I might be... A bit out of turn here.
Yeah.
Might be a bit cruel.
Too.
Maybe he isn't fucking good enough.
Maybe.
And maybe Pochettino sees him every fucking day in training and says, he's
It seemed that when he came in, he wasn't even in squads for a long period of time.
Because he's not good enough.
Well, I don't know. But fine, anyway.
There was that moment where we played Newcastle away where he was there and he just warmed up. He wasn't even in the squad.
Yeah, but he was still there.
He must be like really unfit. Look, so unfit that he can't even at home.
Don't ever look at our squad, and no fan of football should ever look at their squad and think, why don't they give him a go? The reason why they don't is because they see him every day.
It just seems strange when he came in to be put out very, very quickly without even having a run of it.
But that is a typical Tottenham signing, from last season, this season, and the next few seasons or so. What they're going to do, one of the reasons they really like Pochettino is because they think he's going to develop young players and turn them into players who are saleable assets so you can then kind of sell for a large amount of money, or who will potentially get into the Champions League. And you can't argue with that, given how badly splashing the cash did.
Went bad, yeah.
But most of these players like Wimmer, the upside, not much money spent on them, but if they do turn out to be good, then there's a tremendous upside to that.
Yeah.
If they don't turn out to be good, they turn out to be average, which most of them will do, and Stambouli is an example of that.
Mm.
They're just looking for undervalued assets in the European game.
Yeah.
If they turn out to be shit, just fucking sell them before their prices plummet. But it is not a risk. That is Tottenham's transfer policy from now on in.
I mean, it's not even that you have to sell them a lot, because you put them down with, like, even though financial fair play is on the way out, you put them down, like Stambouli is on the books, he's a 2.5 million player. So then you flip him for £4 million.
Yeah.
You've got 1.5 million plus in.
And is that a bad thing for our club to be doing?
No, it isn't. Yeah. And it's what Chelsea are doing a lot now. Chelsea are well within sort of financial fair play, because they're selling players for more than they bought them without really playing them a lot.
Luis, Mata,
Salah.
Van Ginkel, who...
Yeah, but he smashed it in
Milan.
Do you know what I'm thinking about? Another judge.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, Sam.
Yeah.
He's Belgian.
Read him like a book.
He's Belgian. I'm pretty sure they sold him.
They all look the same.
They sold him for big money.
Mm. He is.
Well, it's a white ginger.
But that's what Chelsea. That's the kind of the basis Chelsea have got. Get the players
but
in.
That's not a bad way. You know, when they built the youth academy, they said apparently that over the next 10 years they have to sell every youth academy player for £400,000.
Yeah.
And if you look at what's happened at our club in terms of Harry Kane, Bentaleb, Mason, they're going to
players like Luongo, Kulka.
And then going back to what you said about buying players that have sell-on value. And the problem is with fans, we look at these players and think, well, we want them to be great.
Mm.
Whereas Levy, whether he's within his rights or not, is looking at them saying, actually, they have a value attached to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if Stambouli's value is 2.5 and we bought him and we sell him for 4, without doing anything, any damage to the club at all, he's made 1.5 million.
I was just thinking we haven't poured out any liquor for Paulinho.
Has he apologised?
No, he refused to apologise.
You must do now that he's left.
Yeah, you can understand.
Because he's run straight to the... I was going to say Southern Hemisphere then.
He has gone straight to China, which makes me think maybe I was a little bit kind of like optimistic.
To be fair, when we recorded that podcast, it was with Carl Donnelly, and you said...
Yeah. That's the one I listened back to the other day. I pissed myself more at you saying that than I did anything at Carl said.
And you said he was average, he wasn't any good, but he had a value to Spurs, and towards the end of the last season, I think you were proved right, actually.
What are you doing?
Yeah. What?
Why are you telling him that for?
Why?
Because
it's more entertaining to make him apologise.
Yeah.
Why don't you apologise?
Fuck off.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Paulinho.
Centre midfielder is what my point was. I want a centre midfielder as their priority.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Someone that sits with Bentaleb. Delph would have been amazing, but it's not going to happen.
I don't think we know who we should buy until we find out whether certain players are going to play well next season. Like, if Eriksen doesn't play well, then we need a player to sort of replace him. But we have to assume Eriksen, because he is... got so much talent, he's going to be as good as he was the beginning of last season and up until about halfway through it, where he just was superb. Lamella, who knows what he's going to provide
brilliant.
Next
he's
season.
He's going to be brilliant.
I think he will be brilliant. I mean, I sort of felt that he had turned into he's a totally different player from the one I thought that we were getting.
Yeah.
We thought we were getting Gareth Bale.
And I think that's half the problem, yeah.
And what we've ended up getting is a player who puts his foot in, jumps about, messes people, snatches the ball, and is a bit messy but really grafts. He's Robbie Savage.
I'll tell you now, 10 goals, 10 assists.
He even runs like Robbie Savage.
Do you know what, though?
Don't ruin it.
It's true. Robbie Savage is a good player.
He's right, because his interceptions and the amount of time he's turned over play is incredible.
Yeah.
It's not... Play him
defensive midfielder.
No, but he does what he needs to do on that right-hand side. He was doing what Lennon... Everyone
raves about Lennon's defensive ability, it's nowhere near as good as Lamella's.
Yeah, because no one in that midfield actually really wins a tackle, but Lamella does.
Yeah,
I was thinking, we haven't heard anything about Lennon. Is Lennon going back to Everton?
That is someone we've spoken to before.
Yeah,
he's still a Spurs.
I thought he stayed up in...
No, well, they keep talking that they're going to swap him for Morelos, and there's talk that we're going to swap him for James McCarthy.
James McCarthy would be... I'm a big fan of James McCarthy.
Yeah.
Big fan of James McCarthy. I think he would be great. He's a very, very cultured footballer. He is excellent.
James McCarthy, cultured midfielder.
Yes.
I think McCarthy is underrated.
I don't even know what he looks like.
A bit like a slim version of me, actually.
Literally, if he was in front of me, I wouldn't know.
I don't think McCarthy, like, I think he's better than average, but he's not amazing.
Not yet, but honestly, he's fantastic. I'll be over the moon.
What about that Wigan player who destroyed someone's leg once?
Him. Callum McManaman.
Yeah, him. Yeah.
He's at West Brom.
Alright, bollocks. He won't come there.
I quite like Berinho as well. Like, I
didn't know he seems a very Tottenham-y player.
I think him and Harry Kane would be in a nice little partnership together.
Bloods, didn't they?
Yeah. Bloods and Crips.
Because they tore up the under-21s tournament, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They're amazing, weren't they?
Bentaleb signed a new 5-year deal.
I can get in.
Yeah.
Love that boy.
He literally... I'm down to fuck.
DTF.
Why are you gone silent?
No, I was just waiting to listen into your joyous...
That was it.
It's such a good thing.
It is an amazing thing. We talked about him in the first half, about how good he is, but everyone was a little bit worried about him not signing...
Once again, as Dan said before, it's just agents, man.
Yeah, I think we were all pretty confident that he probably would have signed eventually, wouldn't he?
It's not in his... It's not in Bentaleb's interest to leave.
Exactly.
He needs... If he spends another 2 years here, then maybe he can get a bigger move, or he can stay with us.
It's a bit pessimistic, but how much do you think we will get for Bentaleb?
I know, I don't want to talk about that.
No, but I want you to talk about it.
Defensive midfielder who has to go to African Cup of Nations every 4 years, 20 mil.
I mean, if he has a really good season next season and he turns into the player that we think, based on the ability that we've seen so far, I mean, it seems ridiculous. I think you could... There are not enough players like him. You can get sort of 40 or 50 million.
There's so many unanswered questions with someone like Bentaleb.
But we have no idea how good he is, really.
Yeah, and we don't know whether the system that we played last year with, Bentaleb and Mason, two players, or how it looked on paper of two midfielders playing in front of a back four, whether that with the players that Pochettino wants to get in, whether that's going to be the same system, whether he wants to use Eriksen in a different way or Kane in a different way. Bentaleb might turn into someone
completely
different.
I think Bentaleb has to define himself this year. He has to, because at the moment we're talking about buying a tackler to go next to him. So he needs to either decide whether he's going to be like a deep line playmaker who controls the game, sets the tempo, or he's going to be one of those box-to-box midfielders.
Yeah.
This season, whether he becomes a legend and an incredible player will depend on how he progresses and how he defines himself.
I think it's about how Pochettino defines him, really.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
Pochettino likes him is because he's one of those players who can turn defence into attack really quickly, because that's how Tottenham attack nowadays.
Yeah.
We win the ball off other teams and then we just play it in really quickly and score. We create chances and we didn't even have the ball a second ago. And Bentaleb does this thing where he just wanders around and waits to stand in between two passes.
Mm.
He intercepts the ball. Lamella's like that as well. Mm. But Bentaleb's ability to read the game and see where it's going is very like Ledley's was at the back. Like, he more than made up for the fact that he couldn't run, because he just watched and waited.
Yeah.
Rio Ferdinand's a bit like that as well. He's always very slow, but could always understand where that ball's going to go. And Bentaleb can do that. If he's running around, herring around after people, trying to kick people and win the ball back, he doesn't get to play to the best of his ability.
It's almost like he likes to do that as well. He enjoys that part of the game.
I think he probably had to take on a little bit of that responsibility last year because we didn't have it. And I think what Bardi says is absolutely right. There's going to come a point now this season where he's got to decide, and Pochettino's got to decide as to what he's going to be, and it has to stick at one thing, and he has to have someone that's going to compliment him rather than him trying to do three people's jobs.
A midfielder that can do everything doesn't exist.
I was having a conversation the other day about, like, Kabaya's just signed for Crystal Palace, which is an incredible signing for them, and I think if we wanted to buy him, we could have done, but we have Bentaleb, who arguably is better.
It's not what we need. His wages are too much.
Yeah, no, I know.
And again, they've said that they want to go younger, and he's 29 years old.
Yeah, all of that stuff as well. But you've got a player there who's 21 or 20 or whatever Bentaleb is, and he's better than him.
Yeah.
But what I want to ask is, why do you? Because I love Bentaleb, but why do you love him?
It's cultured, looks good. Not like physically.
There's nothing wrong with finding him physically attractive. No, but you're homosexual. You got a problem with your own homosexuality.
He plays nicely. I like the way he plays. And you saw when he was at left back against Everton, he was doing some mad skills. He was like proper.
Do you know what I noticed? Mad you skills. Didn't have the rainbow flag on your Facebook profile.
Yeah, I was on a boat. Becoming clear now. I was on a cruise.
Cruise. What sort of cruise?
Yeah. Cruise in.
Yeah. Exactly.
I like him because if things are going shit, like I said, I've said 1,000 times before, if things are playing shit, I want to see someone getting, I want us to see us have at least 5 or 6 yellow cards, and I think he'd be the first one in it.
He will deliver.
He's, I want someone who gives a fuck. And whether it's for his own gain later on, but he does give a fuck.
I really like him based on what I saw for sort of 10 games leading up to the Carling Cup final. I just thought he was, one week after another, he was unstoppable. I thought he sort of got lost in a midfield a bit towards the end of the... Well, not even towards the end of the season, the sort of middle to late part of the season. But he's very young. But he's just a Tottenham footballer, isn't he? He's just cultured, he can pick the ball up, he can pass, and he can do exciting things. And he took a lot of shots this season and previous season as well. You think no one else in the Tottenham team is going to try and shoot from there and hit the crossbar. He's exciting in a very kind of like solid, clever way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, he could be amazing or he could be terrible.
And what's really incredible...
you place your bet.
I'm going to be right either way on this one.
What's really incredible is that when he joined Spurs, he was being released by clubs. Yeah. At Lens, he was at...
But that happens with all manner of players.
I know.
Is this another Camoli signing? Is this Camoli? He turned out to be some fucking grand...
We may well have done. But he was at Birmingham.
Because even like fucking Jordan Henderson at Liverpool, that was a Camoli signing. He got fucking rinsed for it.
Now he's
not a silly man, Camoli. I think that's a different conversation altogether.
Camoli's taking credit. His Bale is his. Bentaleb is his. Fucking hell. Maybe we should never say.
I've got a book called The Nowhere Men. It's a book about football scouts in this country, and a chap that basically spends a year on the road with all sorts of different scouts from different clubs and stuff. And it's definitely worth a read because you find out that people like Gareth Bale, everyone knew about it. It was just a question of who was going to pull the trigger first and take that slight risk or get in with his parents first. Yeah. It's a very murky world, but players are getting released all the time, and it's just a question of connections more than anything else.
Camoli picked up one good player after another. We went through a couple of years, and this is not even the players that are behind the scenes who we didn't even realise that were Camoli signings because they come through later after he's gone. But one player after another for a very long period of time, just they were all good.
Yeah.
Or at least they all played well for a bit.
It's definitely worth reading. There's a huge section about Camoli in this book about how he goes about it and whether people think of it. It's all about stats and laptops and figures and people reporting into him and how much of it is about gut instinct and what he's, old Trev thinks that he's going to be a good player, so I'll go with him. And it's a real mix. He didn't get anywhere near as much credit as he should.
But the problem was, it wasn't that he wasn't a great scout, is that he's influencing the club and what the media and what the club allowed people to think about his influence at the
Carrick was Camoli. Am I right in thinking that?
It sounds right.
It was very right at the beginning. Yeah,
maybe.
Was Carrick? I think it might have been even Arnesen.
I think it was Arnesen.
Yeah.
I think Ben Morrison, Cotto, Bale, Cabal. To be fair, Tarapt. I mean, he did all right. I mean, the fact that you fucking found Bow and allowed that to happen.
We've had a whole fucking shitload of people doing this kind of role for us. David Pleat was the one in charge of signing Effington.
I mean, you'll find they're not the scouts either.
Pleat, Arneson, Camoli, Baldini.
I still have faith in Baldini. I know most people don't.
But these guys aren't the scouts. Yeah. That's the point, though. But these guys aren't the scouts. These are the guys that I say pull the trigger, but these are the ones that say, okay, I'm going to go with what you and you have said. They aren't the scouts that actually go and scout the players and make the decision. They're the ones that say, give us all this information, and then they make a decision based on a spreadsheet whatever.
The public perception is about our scouting unit at the moment. In my head, it's Pochettino and Mitchell, and that's it. Is that what everyone else believes, though?
No, it's there's a network of scouts as well, but here I think they're trying to build a team that will develop into something as a unit, which is much less kind of sort of ego based, and it's kind of the opposite of what we've tried to do before.
Yeah,
what they're doing at the moment, I think, is a little bit more like what they did, what Billy Beane did with the Oakland Athletics in Moneyball. You might have seen the Brad Pitt film. Seen that?
I have. Yeah,
where they try and pick up undervalued assets in a belief that certain types of player with a certain amount of ability will fit into a team.
How did that work out for Billy Beane?
It worked out all right. They went from being a really shit team to being an okay team, but he did sort of change the way that... What Billy Beane was doing is he was basically looking for sort of the intangibles that were in between the stats that you'd normally look at.
Is that legitimate? Is that a legitimate way to...
I don't think it has as much application to football as it does to baseball. And yeah, everyone has tried to do the football version of it, and I think it's a load of bollocks. But I think the basic principle of picking up players for potentially relatively cheap and understanding the types of players you want in the first place and trying to slot them in and then cutting and running on them if they aren't very good, which is what they're doing with the likes of Stambouli, I think it does make sense. I think it'll probably work for Tottenham. It won't be any worse than what we did before.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was trying to think, there is a Dutch team at the moment using the Moneyball technique, but I can't, the name is lost.
Altmaier.
Is it Altmaier?
PSV.
No.
Oh, yeah. Sure, I'm going to play some sexy football in the Amsterdam.
But I would definitely recommend that book, Nowhere Men. Anyone who's interested in that, it's a fantastic read, a lot about Tottenham in them.
Okay, final question of the podcast is, would you rather have a penis the size, penis-sized nipples or a nipple-sized penis?
What?
Penis-sized nipples.
So have you got... Basically, cocks for nipples or tiny little.
Whose cock? Mm. Your cock?
Well, just.
Penis sized nipples?
Yeah, would you rather have my nipples
the same size as your penis?
So, your cock as nipples?
Yeah.
Or normal nipples and a nipple cock?
That is quite difficult for me because I've actually got two supernumerary nipples.
And.
Super what?
I got four nipples in total.
I thought you had
like
three.
A dog.
Four.
Like a dog.
I thought you found, because you did a documentary.
Yeah, years ago.
About having three nipples.
I've got four.
I didn't know you had four.
I've got four.
What?
We got to see.
Yeah.
No, we've done this before. Last time you was here.
I wasn't. Did we?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was off the tables on the joke thing.
All right. No.
So when he said about like a dog earlier,
yeah,
what point at me like for? Barney said it.
Punch him.
No.
Punch him in the fucking face.
What my question...
You're so full of hatred, it's incredible.
My question was, whose cock? Whose cock is it have you got on your nipple? Is it your cock?
Your own cock. Your cock.
Cock size nipple, definitely.
But what would happen... So what?
I just got an impression of Alex doing, like, burlesque with, like, lips. And his cock...
Why would you decide to have a miniature nipple cock?
Well, because if you've got a small cock already...
Yes.
Then just stick it on your nipple.
Yes, exactly. So,
faultless reasoning.
Well, no, it isn't. Yeah, because at some point you want to have sex with someone, and then when...
I'm married.
Yeah, but she's going to stay married to you if you have a nipple cock.
Of course she would.
Yeah. Well, then you're in an enviable position, because I'm not in that position.
She only stays with me so that she can talk to you.
So I hope that's true. Barty, what would you do?
I'd rather have a normal cock with big nipples.
So essentially what we're talking about is massive, thick nipples.
Tip tape.
I'd rather have that.
It's a bit weird.
A bit weird on the beach or on a cruise.
Someone would understand. You need someone. Yeah, find someone with a fetish.
Fucking hit people with it and shit.
He actually did a little shimmy.
In my head is like a coin. You know, like in banks, coins. You know what I'm talking about?
When you get the rolls of
coins. Yeah, the rolls of coins. That's essentially like having two of them on your breasts.
Pretty much.
If I came home, I mean, I've been with my missus quite a while, but if I came home tonight and she was like, how was your day? I was like, well, it was just average, really. Except that unfortunately, my nipples are now my cock. I don't think she would stay.
Do you know where
she'd go and fucking sign for Watford like that.
Do you know where it would get really weird? Is that if there was a woman here...
It's got pretty weird already.
Yeah.
If there was a woman here
and it was her nipples,
and so her nipples are cocks, and then she has to breastfeed her baby, and she has to put...
What's the fucking matter with you?
A little bit weird.
That is weird, but they weren't weird for us, because it was now weird. Why are you... What?
She'd be a shedophile.
I fucking love this thing. I've got nothing.
And on that bombshell.
This is what happens when you have too much time on your hands.
Yeah, we have had months.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it from the very special White Hart Lane version of. Somehow we've been talking about a magnificent stadium, and we've got on to. Nipples,
quite a fucking amazing fanzine. It looks so good. The effort that's gone on to it is amazing.
Yeah, it has. Amazing. There has been a lot of effort, and all you need to do is spend £3.50. And
you think of Flav sat in his little flat.
Yeah.
And number five will be with you soon.
thought you were going to give a number of his flat then.
Fanzine number 5 will be here by December, for Christmas, just in time for Christmas.
But snap out while you can.
Absolutely. But number 4, you cunt, is ready now. There has been about maybe 600 pre-orders, and that means me literally sitting and stuffing these motherfuckers.
If you tweet Flav and ask him to sign it personally, he'll probably sign it for you personally before he sends it out.
Yes. Don't do that. That's never going to happen. Okay, thank you so much, Dan, for taking time out of your pre-season on a Friday night to come down and talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And next time you can bring Tim down. Tim Grigg, love him.
I don't know if I can. It's up to Tim. You have to speak to him. He's got to be a man.
Yes.
He's got to be a man now.
Yeah, but he can be a man and have fun.
He's a busy boy.
Okay, fair enough. And Bardi, thank you so much for coming.
Pleasure. It's always nice to
see you. Thanks for actually contributing and also sub-editing the fanzine. That was a massive help.
Bravo.
Remember the Holocaust. How bad it was the last time we did the fanzine, all the typos and everything.
I think it looks great. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, it is excellent.
Yeah, I'm proud of it too. Alex from Bristol.
Thanks, man.
When are you going to fuck off back to country bunkin' land?
I'm going to spend the rest of the summer there, and then I'll come back with.
Don't ever fuck off. I love you deeply.
Oh, no, mate.
All right, I've been Flav, and this has been the Fighting Cock Podcast. Done.
Boom.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
A camel turnum.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.